Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
We'll move all the doubt and cause the sun to shine.
As you get older, things change. And in fact, years ago, I used to preach and didn't have any notes. And I always used to kind of criticize folks that brought paper. And so I brought paper today, and I've learned one thing. You can't keep fire on paper, but if you got the right stuff on paper, you can start a good fire with it. And that's kind of the key behind my life and a lot of what I'm doing. Here a while back, I heard a story. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but it has a lot to do with being old. And so let me share it with you. There was this young police officer pulled over a distinguished woman that was driving in her car at really an excessive speed. And he looked at her and said, "Ma'am, at your age, what are you doing driving this fast?" The old gentleman sitting beside her, obviously her husband, chuckled and laughed and leaned over and stuck his head in the window and said to the young police officer, said, "Young man, the reason we are speeding is so that we can get there before we forget where we're going." And I relate a lot to that. Well, when I talk about hearing God, over the years I have a lot of questions that come through the ministry and through the role of being pastor, and so many of those questions reflect on something about God. Like sometimes people will ask real frequently to me, "Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he do something? Why didn't he stop that? Why did this have to happen?" And that particular question often is saying, "I deserve something better than this." And so many times it's always about, "I feel like I'm being mistreated, abused, something isn't going my way, and I deserve something better." And when we talk about hearing God, I'd like to say to you up front, if your questions are about what God's role in your life is, rather than your relationship and your walk with the Lord, you're going to be disappointed in the answers you get. Because I've learned one thing about God. He don't answer questions real well. In fact, he rarely answers our questions at all. In fact, when I get to the end, I'm going to tell you most of the time, God is the one that's going to do the question asking. And when we get quiet enough and quit asking our questions, we'll hear some questions. And when God asks them, they will change our lives. And what is important isn't my question, but what is important is what is God's question to me as an individual. In our weakness, in our selfish ways, we want stuff to happen our way. So we'll point our finger at this person, "Oh, they're doing that," or "This shouldn't have happened." And we're always reflecting on anything other than ourselves. But we got good grounds for that. We have family that's taught us how to do it. See, Adam wanted to blame Eve. Eve wanted to blame the serpent, and the serpent just lifted his finger and blamed God. So we're in good company. So one of those questions is, why doesn't God do something? The second question that I hear frequently is, why doesn't God talk to me? And I want to say up front, God is always speaking.
Amen.
He is not willing, according to Scripture, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is not willing that any of us are wayward, but he's going to talk to us so we can walk in the way that he wants us to walk in our personal lives. I've discovered that in the spiritual heart of every person, The answer they seek is already present in them, and in their spirit they know. Somebody say, I know. See, so many times people come and I just wait for them to finish talking. I said, what's God saying? They already know. 99% of the time, we already know. We just want to go through the routine of asking the question. In their spirit, they know. Let me say this. An unsaved person knows in their spirit they need God. Can you get an amen with that? They know. And we as believers, when we need insight from God, it's in our DNA because God put in us His Holy Spirit, put in us in His wisdom and His Word in our heart. And we have the power to operate in that, and out of our innermost being, we know. The key isn't, do we know? The question is, will we do it? Will we fuck up and do it? Most often, we don't like the fact that God will most often take the spotlight instead of us, who we get this spotlight. And I go over Reverend Eaton. I go over Reverend Rushing. Oh, look at this. Over Reverend Ford. I go over some other brother and go, here's my problem. And God grabs the spotlight and He turns that sucker around and shines it in our face. He says, it's not your brother or your sister, but it's you, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer.
That's good.
And that inward way of God doing it in our understanding and weakness, God knows we know, and He wants to say to us, I want to talk to you.
Amen.
Here's a great insight. Most of God's remarks to us will be about us rather than the others we want to talk about. I was in a minister's meeting here a while back, and I was speaking to a group of ministers, and interesting thing, I had this old dialogue among ministers, and if you get around too many ministers, like I told someone, when you get too many ministers together, someone's going to lie. I mean, we got to deal with that. And I'm the old duck in the pond. I'm up in my mid-60s, and so I've been doing this for over 45 years. I've spoken at ministers' conference, worked in a denomination at all different levels, and so I've had a little bit of exposure. And so they're all sitting around. This one says, that old deacon in that church, and that isn't what he said. He said, that old demon. There is a difference. Deacons are good. Demons aren't. So, but that's my problem. Then it was the old sister so-and-so in somebody else's churches, and someone else suggested, you know, we could grow a church if just some folks would just go ahead and get promoted to heaven. And I, you know, all this discussion's going on. They come around to me and it's my time to speak, and someone said, how's that with you? And I paused and I said, the reality, men, after 45 years of ministry, and hear me, gentlemen, this applies to your family, your home, your church, who you are, and what you're doing in life. The biggest problem in my life has been me. My entire life. God has been working on me for a lifetime, still working on me. And it's never what others are doing, it's how do I react to that? When someone offends me, is it about me being offended, or is it about me hearing God, what are you trying to teach me?
Amen.
A few months ago, I was sharing with my congregation, because people are people, and all the time people want to point at somebody else. But in my heart, hearing from God, God has always wanted to work on me. Interesting story. If you've ever read the life of Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, she has a unique saying on her tombstone. And if you knew her, you'd understand she was a humorous person, loved the scripture, but loved things that were humorous. So one day they were passing a construction zone, and when they came to the end of it, have you ever seen a sign at the end of the construction zone that says, end of construction, thank you for your patience? Thank you for your patience. Ruth Graham had driven by this construction near their home often, and one day she turned to her Reverend Graham and said, that's what I want on my tombstone when I die.
Wow.
End of construction. Thank you for your patience. I want to say to you, we're under construction.
Amen.
And I have had to say to people, forgive me. This has been me not getting it right. And when my life is over, I hope someone can say, end of construction. Boy, I'm glad I was patient with Joel. Glad I reflected on that. See, I wish I'd done things better. A few years ago, I was serving with a man in the denomination who I admired and loved. We grew up together. Our kids grew up together. And he was in leadership and I was in leadership. And he asked me to do something that wasn't wrong in the eyes of the world, but was unethical by the guidelines of the organization. I handled it wrong. I was right about, we need to do this the right way. But in that, I created an offense with a brother that cost me a relationship that had been there for a lifetime. And I want to say to us, being right isn't always being right. But having a right heart is always right. And when you hear from God, he isn't worried about what did that brother do to offend you. His response is, how are you going to handle this so you and your brother will be brothers when you walk away from this moment in time? And I want to say to you, in my life, I just wish I had handled things better. And I've often had to say to my people, thank you for your patience. God's still working on me. The truth is, it's an excuse for us to ignore the issues by pointing our fingers at other people and blaming them for our unhappy circumstance. If I understand Christianity right and this Bible right, and I think I do, you follow him, you're going to have trouble, honey. You follow him, you're not going to be liked. You follow him and people going to get upset at you. You follow him and the devil don't even like you. And so everything is going to come after us. And the issue isn't, are we going to have trouble? The issue is, will I have the peace of God in me while I'm going through this trouble? And can God form in me his image of his own son so that I live my life in a way that others will want to receive him and trust him as Lord of their life? We do not have an excuse for saying, I don't hear from God. Because God is speaking. The question is, are you and I listening? It isn't, is God speaking? God has an answer for everything. But most of the time it isn't, oh, I'm going to straighten your brother out. Most of the time it is, here's how you need to handle that, Joel. Here's how you need to handle that, Reverend Ford. Here's how you need to handle that. Because when God speaks to us, and boy, this is for men. How many understand, gentlemen, that if we're going to head our households, we are the ones that have to carry the load. We are the ones. Don't blame your wife that you're not a good Christian. I done went to meddling. It's time to quit. Time to go home. Because in all reality, so many times I've had men come in and say, well, you know, if my wife would do this or that or that. And I said, if you'll lay your life down like Christ laid his life down for the church, you'll find out your wife looks a whole lot better. And the truth is, my brother, she ain't wrong. You are messed up, son. And if you'll get it right, she'll be just fine.
That's good, man.
It is.
That's good.
It is good. Because if we will carry the load spiritually, our wives, our children, our grandchildren will serve the Lord if we will learn to serve the Lord and deal with who we are.
Amen.
See, hearing God is based off of some basic principles in Scripture. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, Jesus is speaking, and listen to what he says. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now hear me. When a Christian says to me, they're not hearing God, I want to say, you ain't listening. How dare you claim to be a child of God and say you don't hear from him? You got to be turning something off, ignoring it, deflecting it, blaming someone else. And then the truth is, why are you blaming someone else? You ain't going to hear God anyway. And then John chapter 10 and 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. Somebody say, I hear.
I hear.
I hear. How many of you are his sheep? Are any of you lambs of the Lord?
Yeah.
Then it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, the first part of that's accurate. My sheep hear my voice. The last part's iffy.
Ooh.
My condition in Christ is I hear.
Yes.
My condition is I don't follow real well. You see, the reality is in our relationship with the Lord, the following is just as important as the hearing.
Yeah.
Right. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip over something here and just... No, I don't skip. You're going to be here way past the brick fest. You want to know why we don't recognize God's voice as believers? Truth's so important to understand. I can pick up the phone and one of my little granddaughters can call me and I'll go, "Hi, Destiny." But the other one will call and I don't have to ask who this is. "Hi, Trinity, how are you doing?" Another voice calls and I don't have to ask who it is. I say, "Justice, good to hear you again." My son calls and I say, "Tim, how are you?" His wife calls and I say, "Lon, how are you doing?" My wife calls and nobody, I don't have to have caller ID on my phone because I have a relationship.
Well, say that.
And when people say, now listen to me. How many of you hear conversations here today? You've heard all kinds of conversations and you didn't hear them at all because they're not connected to you. They're over here. They're going on. They could even talk about you and you might not even hear it. It's going on. But for us who are believers, if we're rightly connected with the Lord, we're never going to question that He's talking to us.
Amen.
We know His voice.
Amen.
If you don't spend enough time with Him, you won't know His voice.
Come on.
Second thing that I'd like to say on that is the voice of God comes in various ways. God has slapped folks by talking out loud. Not me. He's never talked out loud to me. The other times that, you know, it says that He speaks like a still small voice in the inner who we are. How many of you get that one? Inside is where He works on me. Now inside sometimes it's like a gentle stream, very soft. Other times it's like thunder. It's like, "Wake up, stupid." God is gracious. He understands our language. And He will stop us. Sometimes it's like a flame of fire. I relate to that prophet that said, "I ain't going to talk about God anymore." And then all of a sudden he said, "There's something in my bones. There's this fire shut up in my bones." And I want to say to you, a true believer who doesn't listen to God, in a little while you're going to be doing this because God's voice is loud enough in your innermost man that He's going, "Listen to me. Listen to me, listen
right.
to me."
Right.
And God speaks to that in our heart. Why does He do that? Because He wants this ongoing relationship with us and fellowship with us so that He can lead us. Well, let me talk about some Bible stories about God speaking. How many understand God spoke to Adam?
Amen.
Remember that one? How many like the Moses story at the burning bush and in the tabernacle and quiet times? And I go, "Whew, I like that stuff." Of course, I don't want to mess with 3 million Jews that don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And how many have heard your name inwardly spoken like Samuel of old, who God called your name? You know, my wife here a few years ago said, "I heard God call my name out loud." That's never happened to me. And she said she'd spent a long time fasting and praying and interceding, getting ready for an event. She heard that in her voice. Isaiah heard the voice of God. Saul heard the voice of God. Gideon heard the voice of God. In fact, I really like the one on Gideon because when God talks to us, listen to what He says. To Adam, He said, "Where are you?" See, Adam may have said, "The woman thou gavest me," and God looks at him and goes, "I ain't worried about the woman." He says, "Where are you?" And then Eve comes along and she wants to talk about the serpent and God instead stops and says, "What have you done?" See, when you get in a dialogue with God, He's not interested in your question. He's interested in spinning it and giving you the question you really need to answer. "Samuel, Samuel, let me have your attention, son." Sometimes it's a command that God starts with instead of an answer. I like what he said to Moses, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. He's saying park. In Isaiah, he says, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Isaiah was complaining about a king that had died. And will anybody rule the land? And will the land ever be what it ought to be? And instead of God responding to that, he goes, who will go for me? Whom will I send? And I love Isaiah because Isaiah finally quit worrying about the king and he said, here am I, send me. Can somebody say that with me? Here am I, send me. Say it again. Here am I, send me. And then I like what he said. I like what he said to Saul when Saul's out here persecuting the new Christian church being born into the world. And, you know, I bet Saul all the time was going, well, God, why are these Jesus people out here? And why are these out here? And he's going, I got letters. I'm going to go kill them. I'm going to take care of them. All of a sudden, God whacks him down on the road to Damascus. And it isn't a question from Saul that is being asked. It's a question from God. And God says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he goes, Lord! You know, when God asks a question, the best response is, Lord! Got my attention! I love Gideon's when, you know, Gideon's that shy, timid guy that says, I can't do anything for God.
Well,
in fact, he was so negative about himself that he wouldn't even get out in public and go to the threshing floor. He'd wait till late at night and go thresh his wheat. That timid. And when the Lord spoke to him, he simply said it like this, peace be with you, do not fear. You shall not die. Now I need to tell you something. If you'll hear from God and do what he says, you'll have peace and you won't die if you do what God tells you to do. You will end up better and everybody around you will end up better when you answer God's question and hear what God is saying to us. Oh, I'm all stirred up. I'm all stirred up. You know, some of us are like Peter. We get with Jesus. I mean, here's this guy that lied against the Lord, went and hid in the darkness. Jesus drug him out, and they end up in this conversation on this seaside, and Peter's interest is, what about John? What about John? Someone said that he's not going to die. Tell me all about John. And the Lord Jesus, he said, what's John? John ain't the issue. He said, Peter, will you feed my sheep? But what about John? Feed my sheep? What about John? Feed my sheep? Finally, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? See, the whole issue is if we really love God, John doesn't matter.
Come on, man.
Because to live at peace in this world, it's about me and him, not about me and them. Amazingly different. So let me close with asking some things. What question has God been asking you? Let me throw some of them out. Why are you so stuck on what others are saying or doing? Why do you want me to change them when you're so messed up? Why do you ignore my desire for fellowship with you and grumble about what's happening all around you? Why do you want everything your way and not mine? You think God might ask something? Why don't you trust me? I love this one. By the way, guy, how'd you get here? Didn't you hear me while you were making all those dumb decisions? See, the real question isn't in hearing God. What's he got to say about the things in my life that are causing me trouble or the people or the events? The real thing about hearing God is that we can have his peace if we'll let him work with us.
Amen.
Let me make one more statement here. if your peace is dependent upon what God does through somebody else or to someone else, you'll never have peace with God. If your peace is dependent on you changing someone else, you'll never have peace with God. But if your peace is based on letting God change you, you will always have peace with God. Because when you hear Him and listen to Him and follow Him, circumstances may not change. But gentlemen, we can live this life and have peace with God if we'll hear His voice.
Amen. Amen.
Listen and do it.
Amen.
Can we pray for a moment? Father, I want to thank You today for the joy of being with my brothers in Christ. And grant us the understanding that we have ears to hear and sometimes don't hear. Or we hear and we just don't want to pay attention. And God, grant us the courage to allow the Holy Spirit to trigger inside of us an understanding that we can respond with. And that we would follow You better than we ever have. Some man here is wrestling with some issues, and Lord, You're going, how'd You get here? I didn't want You to get here. And I'll help You if You let me talk to You. And Lord, let that man hear that voice loud and clear.
Yes, grant it, Lord, grant it.
God, there are gentlemen here that love You deeply, but wrestle with people, wrestle with events.
Yes, Lord.
And oh God, how many of us wish we could change some of those things. But Lord, we just put ourselves on an altar this morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
and go, Lord, I understand now. It's not about changing those things.
Yes, Father.
It's about changing me.
Yes, Lord.
So that I can have a right mind, a pure heart.
Yes, Lord.
And peace with You.
Grant it, Lord. Grant
help us receive these things.
Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet Him on His terms, and His terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home, a baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life is changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.